Replay by Hannover Re. Expert insights on life and health insurance.
Why critical illness insurance is becoming more relevant in today's healthcare and income protection landscape, what it actually covers, and how insurers can approach CI product development to create the most value for policyholders and their own portfolio. Welcome to Replay by Hannover Re. I'm your host Susanne Loomis, and today we'll talk to Tim Smith about insights into critical illness insurance.
This podcast is for general information only, no professional advice, and is subject to change. You can find the full disclaimer in our show notes.
Welcome to our podcast, Tim.
Thank you for having me, Susanna.
Tim is head of protection at Hannover Re's UK Life branch in London, and he works with insurers to develop and improve protection products, especially in the area of critical illness, and he brings deep market insight and practical experience. So what should we know about critical illness insurance? Could you walk us through what it covers, how it's typically designed, and where it's most commonly used?
Sure. So critical illness is a product that's designed to pay out when a policyholder is unlucky enough to be diagnosed with a condition that has a significant impact on their life. So things like cancer, heart attack, stroke. In general, it's a product that's not aimed at healthcare, though maybe sometimes used for that, and we can get into that a bit later. But it's often aimed at covering the costs that you might incur from having a serious illness. So, for example, taking time out of work in order to recover, making adaptations to your home, or paying carers. The product's changed a lot over the years. So it started out quite basic, but more and more conditions have been added over the years. And we've changed definitions over time as well to make sure that we're covering the right things. And in more developed markets, so as you mentioned, I'm working in the UK, we have often more than one tier of product. So there'll be basic products that just cover the larger illnesses that people are more likely to be diagnosed with, but then more comprehensive products, things like including total permanent disability in the product, maybe partial payments for less severe conditions, and also products that cover children's critical illness as well.
Okay, thanks, Tim. That really helps lay the groundwork. And you have worked with critical illness insurance not just from a technical standpoint, but with a deep understanding of how it impacts real lives. Can you recall a moment or experience that made this topic feel especially personal for you?
Yeah, so I know from personal experience the stress that's caused by somebody close to you suffering from a serious illness.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of hidden costs associated with this. So childcare is a good example. A lot of families out there at the moment who are balancing childcare with work, often both parents working. And if one of those parents is taken out with illness, needs to take time out to recover, then the costs of childcare needed can soon mount up. So alleviating that sort of financial burden can take away a significant source of stress at a time that's naturally going to be difficult for everybody concerned anyway. And it allows people to really focus their energy on the important things, supporting their family, for example.
Yeah, of course. And you're glad for everything you don't have to worry about when dealing with a serious illness. And the term critical can be subjective. How do we define what qualifies as critical illness? And how consistent is that definition across markets?
Yeah, so this is actually one of the most difficult areas to get right with CI. So everybody probably has quite a clear picture in their head of what we mean when we say a critical illness.
Yeah.
So something that's life-changing, something that's quite stressful, debilitating, perhaps life-threatening. However, it's surprisingly difficult to actually define that when it comes to an insurance policy without, on the one hand, excluding things that you would want to cover, so something that is quite serious, or on the other hand, paying out claims where things are actually not that serious at all and somebody doesn't really need that money.
Yeah.
And the concern there is it becomes a bit more almost like a lottery product where you're getting a payment without that insurance need. A good example here is skin cancer. So there's a huge range of how serious that condition can be. You can have very serious skin cancers where it is hugely life-threatening and life-changing. But you can also have skin cancers that are very easy to treat. Perhaps you go into hospital for a procedure over an afternoon and you're back at work the next day.
Yeah.
And so designing the product so that it pays out in one of those situations but not the other is a challenge that we face with it.
So can you tell us more about some particular challenges insurers are dealing with when it comes to designing critical illness products?
So anticipating changes in diagnostics and treatments into the future is one of the biggest challenges that we face. So these are long-term products. They might last 20, even 40 years. And we have to anticipate changes that are going to happen to how frequently these conditions are diagnosed and how effective the treatment's going to be for them over time. So if diagnostics are going to increase significantly in the future, then we need to adjust our pricing to make sure that we're covering that. Mm-hmm. If treatments are very likely to mean that a condition becomes a lot less serious, then we want to design the product to allow for that. So that's one of the things when thinking about a long-term product like this that we really need to think through at the product design stage. There's a lot of changes happening in the market today in the healthcare landscape that are impacting us here. A good example are some blood tests that are being developed to detect cancer. Now, they're not at the level yet where they could be considered diagnostic and trigger a payout from critical illness, but these technologies are getting better and better all the time. And in the future, it's likely that far more cancers will be picked up in this method. Mm-hmm. Another challenge is genetic testing. We see more and more people getting more information about their own genome and therefore the associated risks that they have with that. And this leads to an asymmetry of information between the policyholder and the insurer. Potentially, people will know when they're particularly at risk of a condition and can buy a critical illness product that will cover that. And so there's the potential there for a bit of anti-selection, and that's something we need to manage.
Yeah, it's clear that that comes with a lot of complexities, and being aware of them or working with someone who understands them can make all the difference. So let's look at the opportunity side. Why should critical illness be part of the portfolio? What additional value does it offer beyond product diversification?
CI can be very complementary to life cover. It's quite common that policyholders will buy a CI policy alongside a life cover. And so there's real opportunity there for insurers to upsell critical illness cover on top. And if somebody is interested in CI and life, then it's not uncommon that advisors will often place both of those covers with one insurer. That means only needing to go through one underwriting journey, and also can be cheaper to buy two products with one insurer.
Yeah.
So that can mean that offering CI can increase your potential target market. And the other thing is it's an opportunity to differentiate your product in some way from your competitors. With life cover, with a mortality product, it's very difficult to innovate with the product. You pay out, you know, if somebody dies, that's a pretty black and white thing. Whereas if you have critical illness, then you can adjust the product. You can cover things that some of your competitors aren't covering. You can have a unique selling point in your market.
Yeah, that makes sense. Especially when bundled with life cover, it opens up new opportunities. But there's also the issue of rising healthcare costs. How can CI help people manage expenses when they need access to advanced treatments?
Yeah, so that's certainly something that we are looking at. So in my market in the UK, we have a public health system, but the gap between the treatment options that are available on the public health system and the possible treatments available to those who are able to pay privately mm-hmm. is actually growing quite significantly.
Yeah.
It takes quite a long time for something to be approved in the UK for payment under the National Health Service. Mm-hmm. For example, there are a lot of cancer treatments these days that might be the best treatment for an individual, but not available to them, sort of public health system. And the same is true with health insurance. You know, health insurance policies can lag behind the pace of developments in healthcare. And critical illness is a long-term product and can guarantee you a lump sum at that point that you get diagnosed with something, and therefore fund advanced treatment should the need arise based on whatever's available at the time of diagnosis.
Yeah. And when we talk about serious illness, cancer is often top of mind. With a 50% chance of getting cancer in a lifetime, it's something that many people will face. How does CI help with the less visible, often underestimated cost that comes with a cancer diagnosis?
I mentioned the childcare example earlier, and that's a very significant example of an additional cost that comes with having illness in the family. But there are often a lot of smaller costs that really do add up. So the cost of travel to appointments in the UK, you have to pay for hospital parking. And if you have, say, 5 appointments a week over a significant period, then that can really add up to a lot.
Yeah.
But there's also things like higher energy bills to heat your home. If you're at home for longer periods, well, you recover rather than being at work. Convenience foods, if cooking is no longer easy. So, all these things can really add to the burden of having a serious illness.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm curious, Tim, can you share a situation where your team helped solve a real challenge in developing or pricing a CI product? And what did that look like?
So we were involved in developing a product for the UK market, which was more focused on prognosis, the prognosis of the patient, rather than the diagnosis. A great example here is prostate cancer. A lot of men will get prostate cancer at some point during their life, but many actually will not need treatment for it. It can be something that's managed and lived with and doesn't have a serious impact on their life or require surgery. So by focusing on the prognosis rather than the diagnosis, in this example, the need for surgery, we can ensure that the product pays out when it's really needed by the patient, but control costs so that the premiums aren't too high because it's only paying out in those circumstances.
Yeah. And are there some lessons that stand out either from this or from another situation?
A critical illness policy is often quite a complicated product. You know, you're trying to define illnesses and you need to use language in doing that that's not necessarily so accessible to the general public.
Yeah.
So one thing to really bear in mind is to try and make the product as simple as possible. It's important to ensure that advisors in particular and policyholders really understand the product, understand what they're buying.
Yeah.
Another thing when we're developing products is we learn an awful lot from the claims assessment process from an existing product. It really helps to inform our definitions. For example, if we have a claim come in and we feel like, yeah, this is somebody that is clearly suffering with something that is a life-changing illness, but unfortunately it doesn't match any of the definitions on the policy, then we can use that as a trigger to help us develop the product further, ensure that we are covering situations like that in the future.
Thank you. That's really interesting. So if a primary insurer is thinking about offering CI products, where's the best place to start that conversation?
Well, I would say have a discussion with your local Hannover Re contact. I probably would say that. But globally, we have a wealth of expertise in CI. So we write CI in a lot of major markets globally, and we really do pool that expertise. So if there's an insurer that is interested in bringing that expertise to their local market, perhaps critical illness isn't something that's sold widely in the market, then we can bring what we've learned globally and help them design a product that's really going to target the policyholders that they're intending to.
Yeah, and what's Hannover Re's approach to CI?
We have a deep understanding of the risk. In the UK, we have a research team, for example, who spend a lot of their time thinking about the rates of diagnosis of all of these conditions, how that's likely to change into the future, so that we can really understand the risk for ourselves and help our clients do so. And part of that is horizon scanning, anticipating these trends in diagnosis and treatments and making sure that these products are fit for the future.
Yeah.
We also really have an enthusiasm to innovate and a client and consumer-led approach. So with a recent product development that we've done in the UK, we've been spending a significant amount of time speaking with the advisors who are going to ultimately sell that product to understand what is it that's actually appealing to their customers and what would make them choose our product over one of our competitors.
Thank you, Tim. That was very insightful.
Thanks for having me.
So today we talked about how critical illness insurance is more than just about replacing income. It's about enabling policyholders to focus on what matters most when life is disrupted. We touched on the challenges in developing CI products and talked about some of the opportunities they offer for primary insurers. Thank you for listening to Replay by Hannover Re. We hope you found this conversation helpful, and don't forget to subscribe for more episodes, leave us a review, and stay connected with Hannover Re on LinkedIn. Until next time.
The thoughts, ideas, documents, and other content discussed or shared in this podcast are not intended to constitute any professional advice. Hannover Re and the participants are not liable for any damages resulting from the usage of the content of this podcast. For further information, please see the show notes.